If you read through the book of 2 Peter, you will find that the word know, K-N-O-W, and its various forms occur many times. But in addition to that, you will also note that the idea of knowing or knowledge is contained in other words or is parallel to those words, such as the word remind or reminder, which is to bring back to someone's mind something they already know or used to know. So the title of this lesson is What Not to Know. What not to know. So I thought the letter was about knowing or remembering. Why are we talking about not knowing something? It is because the idea of not knowing is the idea of being ignorant. Now, the word ignorant has acquired a negative connotation over the years. When someone says another is ignorant, they sometimes mean the person is mentally deficient somehow. But that is not the basic meaning of the word. The word is neither negative nor positive. It is simply a statement of fact. The person who is ignorant simply does not know. They've not read, they've not learned, they've not studied about a particular piece of knowledge or a particular event. So the title of our lesson is simply a play on words and really means what not to ignore. Or what not to be ignorant of. We want to begin with three times that the word ignorant or ignore is found in 2 Peter. You say, well, I've read this letter many times and I've never seen the word ignore or ignorant. Well, you may be right. A lot of our English translations do not use this word, but some do because the original word means to forget or to ignore. And it can mean to willfully forget or to willfully ignore. So let's start with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 8. First, we'll deal with verse 5. What not to ignore. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now, the New American Standard is what I just read, and it really doesn't bring out the idea that is found in other translations, which are closer to what should be said. The New Revised Standard Version says they deliberately ignore this fact. The ESV, for they deliberately overlook this fact. The American Standard of 1901 says, for this they willfully forget. Now, what's the context? Well, let's start in 2 Peter 3 with verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, they willfully ignore this fact. It escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now, in this passage, Peter is reminding his readers, he is telling them to remember the words spoken by the prophets and the commandment of Jesus, which has been passed on by the apostles. What exactly did they need to remember? First, in verse 3, Peter says, know this first of all. Now, Peter is not starting a list. Know this first, know this second, know this third. Okay? He is speaking of the importance of what he's about to say. This is of first importance. This is very important. They needed to remember the warnings concerning those who would mock, ridicule, or make fun of certain things. The word mock also has to do with deceiving or tricking someone. It may be that what they say is said not only to make fun of the people who believe this, but they also say it with the intention of casting doubt on the teaching that they are talking about. But not only is it important that Peter's audience know these mockers are coming, but it's also important that they be aware of what the mockers will say. The mockers will question the timing of the second coming. And in doing so, they will uphold what is known as uniformitarianism. From the beginning, all things have continued just as they are. Okay? Uniformitarianism is one of the foundations of evolution. For example, the Colorado River is flowing at a certain rate, and it is assumed that it has always flowed at that rate. And given that assumption, the Grand Canyon must have taken millions and millions of years to be carved out of solid rock. Well, we know different because of the videos we watched just back in the summer of our VBS. The flood and how it brought the Grand Canyon into existence. But Peter says that when they say this, when they say these things about how things have continued from the beginning as they are, they deliberately ignore the fact of the creation and the flood. You know that old idea, or I don't know how old it is, how new it is, but the idea of the Big Bang? Well, I believe in the Big Bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. Okay? So what we're talking about here is a cataclysmic event. A bringing into being at a moment's time of the earth and the universe and all things about it and all the universes that are beyond ours. So if these mockers ignored the facts of the creation and the flood, then it stands to reason that he wants his readers not to ignore these things. You don't ignore the fact of the creation. You don't ignore the fact of the flood. And if they should not ignore these events, we shouldn't either. It is imperative that we understand the creation and the flood. The teaching of the Bible concerning the creation is being attacked from all sides. Our children are being taught evolution with all its attendant implications. Most importantly, that there is no God. Our children are being taught that it does not matter that the Bible says that God created two genders and only two genders in the beginning. Because now we are being told that we can choose which gender we want to be, whether male or female, or what is now known as non-binary. Or there's the gender neutral choice of simply X. The non-binary term is allowed as of October 2017 in the state of California. In Washington, D.C. and in Oregon, one can simply choose the gender X on their driver's license and identification cards. In the UK, it is projected that the next census in 2021 will include a list of potential options for sexuality and gender identity that could be, as said in a news article, lengthy. The same online article that stated this also said that in 2014, Facebook ended a decade of only giving its users male and female options on its site by adding 71 gender identification terms, an update many saw as long overdue. Now, I just want to give you a few of the likely choices that will be found on the UK Census of 2021. First, there is bigender. Relatively straightforward, a bigender person sees themselves as having two gender identities. The separate genders could both be male or female. That is, they could have two male identities or two female identities, or they could have a female and a male identity. And these might be felt at the same time or entirely distinctly from each other at different times. And then there is the term gender fluid, a term describing individuals for whom gender is unfixed. They fluctuate between different identities aside from their biological assignment. And then there's polygender, identifying with several different genders, either at the same time or different times. Normally, the term is given only to those with four or more different gender identities. Brethren, we could go on and on with the different attacks that are occurring day in and day out on the biblical record. And this lesson is not meant to answer all of these attacks. What I can do is refer you to the excellent resources in our brotherhood that can be found at places like Apologetics Press and Focus Press, on the creation, the flood, gender issues, and more. In fact, the latest issue of Think Magazine, put out by Focus Press, is directly dealing with gender issues. Use these materials to counteract what your children are being taught in public school. Use these materials to prepare them for what they will hear in the colleges and universities they will attend if it is not a Christian Christian university such as Faulkner or Freed. Use these materials to teach your children and educate yourselves about these attacks upon the truth. And I will add that if you happen to be struggling with gender identity issues, the elders or myself will be glad to work with you, to refer you to a good Christian counselor who has dealt with these things before. Just know that you're not alone, and we're here to help. Please do not suffer in silence or seek help from secular sources. Those sources will only lead you astray. Beginning back to 2 Peter 3, after saying that these mockers willfully ignore the creation and the flood, and how God intervened in history in these events, Peter goes on to say that there will be yet one more intervention by God, and that will be at the last day, when the heavens and earth will be destroyed. So it is only logical to assume that Peter does not want us to ignore this fact either. Then in verse 8 of 2 Peter 3, we again find our term for willfully forget, or willfully ignore. Let's read verses 8 through 10 of 2 Peter 3. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be burned up. Basically, in verse 8, Peter is saying that time means nothing to God. He says, do not ignore that. Do not ignore that time means nothing to God. First, the fact that Jesus has not yet returned says nothing about whether he will. Second, the Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise to return. He delays his coming to give opportunity for all to repent. Every breath that you take is more opportunity to make your life right with God, if it is not already. Finally, in verse 10, Peter reiterated with confidence that the day of the Lord will arrive. It will come suddenly, and when it does, the world will be destroyed. Then in verses 11 and following, he says that this knowledge should affect the way we live. In verses 11 through 18 of 2 Peter 3, he says this, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scripture, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So in verse 14, Peter says that since we are looking for the final day, we ought to live our lives in such a way that we can be found by him in peace, that is, being right with God. Spotless and blameless, which is the exact opposite of the false teachers who in 2 Peter 2:13 are described as having stains and blemishes. And then in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Peter speaks of people who take what Paul wrote and they distort it, they twist it, so that a false meaning results. Peter calls these people untaught or ignorant. So we keep seeing this idea of ignorance, and Peter warns us not to be ignorant of certain things or not to be like those who are ignorant. We must educate ourselves and seek the tools to properly interpret the Bible and study the evidence about creation and the flood and many other things. Will we learn these things overnight? Absolutely not. But if we are not constantly seeking to learn more and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we are not doing as God would have us to do. We would be remaining in a state of ignorance. This idea of the necessity of growth brings us to our second point, and that is what not to forget. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now, there's so much contained in these 11 verses, but for the sake of time, certainly, we want to focus just on verses 9 through 11. First, verse 9 says that the one who does not grow by adding the Christian virtues is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Now, the term blind is self-explanatory. The obvious opposite of that is being able to see. So many times, the idea of light is used to speak of the Christian life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we are the light of the world and that we are to let our light shine. And shine in such a way that others can see our good works and glorify God. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, when your eye is clear or healthy, your whole body is full of light. Jesus, in John's gospel, said that he is the light of the world. And John speaks of walking in the light in 1 John 1 and verse 7. And the psalmist tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Psalm 119, verse 105. But next, there is the term short-sighted. You know, the original word behind the word short-sighted here in 2 Peter 1:9 is the word from which we get our word myopic. It has to do with being nearsighted. But literally, it means to close the eyes as in squinting, like a nearsighted person does. And as one commentator puts it, perhaps it is best understood short-sighted, as clarifying in what sense people become blind. They are blind in that they fail to see what they should see. They have become so short-sighted that they have forgotten the most important reality of all. They have forgotten that they have been cleansed or purified from their past sins. Now, one thing that we want to point out here is that the original word for forgotten is a near form of the word used in 2 Peter 3, 5, and 8 that we said meant to willfully ignore. Could it be that since these people have not grown, have not added the Christian virtues, it shows that they have willfully ignored their salvation? Their forgiveness? Like a nearsighted person who can see clearly only what is right in front of them. These people are only concerned with what is right in front of them. As in chapter 3, this context has within it a reference to the second coming of Jesus. When Peter says, "For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." That's in verse 11. So while looking at what is in the here and the now, what is right in front of us, these people are not looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, of which Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 2 and verse 13. They are not like Abraham in Hebrews 11, 10, who was looking for a city which has foundations whose architect and builder is God. They're not like Moses, who considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Hebrews 11, 26. Again, as one commentator put it, Peter observed that those who are not practicing these virtues have forgotten their forgiveness of sins. In other words, they are not living as forgiven sinners. They are behaving like unconverted people. In Peter's thinking, a godly life is evidence that you are truly forgiven. If members of the church are living immoral lives, they bear witness that forgiveness of sins means little to them. Those who treasure being forgiven live in a way that pleases God. And in doing so, they look beyond the here and the now. They look beyond the temporary and the fleeting. They look to the future return of Christ and the reward that awaits them. Let's go back and look at Moses again in Hebrews 11, this time in verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. What? The here and the now. Let us not forget our salvation. And let us get beyond the here and the now. And let's develop this long-range outlook that looks into the future, to a heaven where God is, where Christ is, and where we can spend an eternity worshiping our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us generously add the Christian virtues. 2 Peter 1:5. Let us be diligent to make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. And be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. 2 Peter 3:14. Let us not ignore the fact that time means nothing to God. 2 Peter 3:8. And let us consider the patience of our Lord as salvation. 2 Peter 3:15. Let us be on our guard so that we are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from our own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. And finally, let us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Read, study, learn, and grow. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we would urge you to do it now. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, make confession of your faith in Christ as the Son of God, and do so publicly, and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you do, appreciate that. Recognize that for the rest of your life. But if you have become a Christian, we would urge you, but you've strayed away, we would urge you to return to your Lord and Savior, to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come now as we stand and sing.